This morning we have not a guest speaker, but Pastor Dennis will be preaching, and he's kind of doing a message in between as we start off our new series. But in case you didn't wish him a happy birthday, yesterday was his birthday, so please do wish Pastor Dennis a happy birthday.
Thanks. If you have your Bible, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to be going through 5 verses today. So as you turn to there, or pull out your phone and press buttons to there, or however you get there, I want to give a little bit of brief background on what this book is about and where we're heading this morning. So I want to just kind of set the stage a little bit. Corinth was a Roman city that was in the middle of a very important trade route during that time. So as you imagine, a place that has a lot of trade going on, there's going to be a lot of diversity. There's a lot of people coming in and out. There's a lot of different religious backgrounds, a lot of various religions. And on top of that, lots of money, lots of corruption, a lot of promiscuity. And in this culture, a church was planted by the Apostle Paul. And so this is the culture where the church of Corinth was in. And what happened was Paul comes into this city, preaches the gospel, plants a church right here, and then years later he goes off and continues his mission work, and the church stays, and he gets reports of what's going on in this church. He's not getting great reports. And he's hearing that there's division in the church. And he's hearing that there's sin going on in this church. And people are just kind of letting things loose. And there's this culture of one-upmanship. So people always think, like, they're trying to one-up each other, thinking, who has the more spiritual gift? Who's more spiritual? Who has more this and that? And you got this really toxic culture in this church. They're not for each other. They're trying to kind of measure up against each other. They're ignoring some of the big things going on at church, whether it's sin. And everyone's trying to pick a side. There's a lot of division in this church. So in the book of 1 Corinthians, right off the gates, he starts addressing this issue. And so Paul starts addressing these issues. In chapter 1, he's talking about the division of the church. And then starting in verse 10, we see that he's appealing to them because he's asking them, hey, do not have the vision among you. And he builds up his argument in this way, that we should be united together in Christ because the power of the cross saved them all. And so he's trying to build his argument because of the power of the cross, because of Jesus Christ, there should be no division among you. And so the people at that time in that church, they're trying to find different disciples that they would be for. So some people will say, I am for Cephas, which is another name for Peter. Or I am for Paul. Well, Paul's the one that planted this church. So I'm for Paul. Or I'm for Apollos, the new guy in town. Or, I'm not for any of these guys. I'm for Jesus, right? And it's like everyone's trying to pick a side and everyone's trying to have their own camps. And what Paul was saying is that it doesn't really matter who's the one coming and giving and delivering you this gospel message, but what's important is the gospel message itself. It's as if someone came up to me and Pastor Josh this morning and said, I want you to tell the congregation this morning that there's an anonymous donor that paid for vacations for everybody in the congregation today, right? And so he goes, I want you to just start giving that message out. And so Josh comes up during announcements, like, yeah, I want to let you know that this is what you have. Everyone's like super excited, woo! Right, and I come up and I give the announcement, by the way, don't forget to pick up your voucher on the way out. And it's like, yeah, woo! And then people start going, I really like the way Josh said it. Right, like, I really liked how Josh gave he was like much more excited about the vacation. Or like, I really like the way Dennis said it. He gave a lot of like information. And then people are like, well, I don't like how you like the way Josh said it. And then everyone starts dividing. He's like, who cares, right? Just pick up your voucher and go home. Right? And so in the same way, it's like the people there are going, well, I like Paul, or I like Peter, or I like Apollos. And someone's like, I'm not for any of them. I'm for Jesus. Like, okay, all right. Go ahead and give the church answer, right? And he's going, no, this is not what it is about. And he's like, I want you to be united because of the gospel and the power of the cross. And so he starts laying down this foundation. He goes, on top of that, as he continues to build this argument, he's going, you didn't even come to know Christ because of fancy rhetoric. You didn't come to know Christ because of this the preaching or eloquent speech. But you actually came to know Christ through the power and wisdom that he gave to you. And it's not because you were smarter than everybody else. It wasn't because you were better than everyone else. But it's purely through the power of the gospel. And that's kind of what we're looking at this morning as we now enter chapter 2, the beginning of chapter 2. Because that's kind of like the foundation of what's going on in this book, the first chapter is about. So as we enter chapter 2, the way we would summarize this next passage is that our foundation and confidence of our salvation rests in the power of the cross. The foundation and the confidence of our salvation rests in the power of the cross. So hopefully you had enough time to turn to chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. Let me read it for you. We'll read it together and we'll have it in the back at the same time. It goes, and I, this is Paul writing, right? And I, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And so what we're going to do, we see the first two verses, if there's a way that Paul kind of starts, again, when he starts this new argument, and as he shifts towards him and how he was doing things, and how he came to them preaching the gospel. The first two verses, the way he kind of lays it out is that the foundation of our salvation is in Jesus Christ crucified. The foundation of our salvation is in Jesus Christ crucified. And listen to me as I read it again. He goes, when I came to you, brothers, he's talking to the Corinthians, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. Therefore, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So Corinth, with their trade route, with all their hustle and bustle, became a destination for professional orators. And so what that looks like is that they would come and actually charge a fee to the audience to come and listen to them talk. And so they'll actually come and listen to these guys talk, and they'll come to be entertained by their rhetorical display. And on top of that, some would even call this magic. That was probably the slang they had for it, because these orators, these professional orators, would bewitch their hearers. The content didn't really matter. It's only the delivery, the performance. They came to be entertained. And what that looked like for these orators, what would happen is they'll come in town, right? So they're traveling around from city to city. They'll come in town, and what would they do once they come in town is that they would go and give these flowery speeches, and they'll praise the city and talk about how great the city is, and they'll talk about just how great they are and their own personal achievements. So they'll come in kind of like give a little a little snippet of what's to come, a little preview, and then try to sell tickets to see who would come and who would listen to them, and maybe they'll make some money off of that. But Paul said, I didn't do any of that. Because when I came, I didn't come with these flowery speeches. I didn't come proclaiming about me. I didn't come giving these, very exciting or this rhetorical magic. He goes, I actually came with the mindset that I'm going to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ crucified. He goes, I came with that one goal in mind, which is to preach the gospel to you, which is our next slide, the topic. The foundation of our salvation is in Jesus Christ crucified. And Paul wanted to be clear that I want the primary message to be the primary message. Because he rightly understood that this was a message of life or death. It was a matter of eternal joy in Christ or eternal separation from God. So he came with this mindset, I'm not preaching, I'm not doing anything else except preach Christ and Christ crucified, because my goal is not to win people to myself. My goal is to win people to Christ. He didn't want to build a foundation of faith that is based on him, where people had to depend on him, but he wanted to build a foundation of faith that depended on Jesus. He didn't want to plant a church that revolved around his personality, but he wanted to plant a church that revolved around the gospel, and he wanted Christ to draw people in. So his theological understanding of the gospel influenced his philosophy of ministry, influenced his philosophy of evangelism. So what he was going to do was he was going to do whatever it takes to communicate that Christ is the center of everything in this church and in their lives. And so he was building this foundation that what I want people to do when they come and as we plant this church, as we go and evangelize to this community, that people will see and only see Jesus Christ. In my hometown, there was a particularly well-known Chinese church there. It was a rather influential Chinese church, big church, planted a lot of other Chinese churches in the metro area. And I remember in this Chinese church, there was a senior pastor there. And the senior pastor was a man that was born in Asia, came to the States, like a lot of the generation that my parents grew up in. And he became a pastor, and he was a fantastic communicator. He was so amazing at communicating. You want to know how amazing he was? When he was preaching, I was a youth. And the youth at our church, when he came and guest preached at our church, we would all be captivated by his preaching. That is pretty amazing to do. Because the fact that English was not his first language was pretty amazing. And the fact that he was able to connect and communicate to youth was amazing. I have a hard time having the youth in this room stay awake for the whole period of time. And you got this man that was probably 20, 30 years my senior, being able to captivate the attention of the youth. I had friends go, man, this guy's pretty good. That's pretty amazing. But in the early 2000s, this huge scandal rocked the church. They found out that this man, this amazing preacher, was in a decades-long affair. It was a huge scandal. Because this church planted all these other churches, affected the Chinese churches throughout the whole area. And I remember hearing people say, man, this person led me to Jesus. Like, what does that mean for me now? Or this person baptized me. Is any of this legitimate? And it became very difficult for some people to separate their faith from this man. And the foundation of their faith was built on something other than the gospel alone. So for us this morning, we must ask ourselves, if you claim to be a Christian, you say you follow Jesus Christ, my question for you is, what is that claim built on? What is the foundation of that claim? Because if it is anything other than the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, then it is an unreliable foundation. Our foundation of our salvation cannot be built on what we have done or what we will do. It cannot be built on the family that you grew up in. It cannot be built on how much you have served. It cannot even be built on maybe, have I walked down an aisle before? Or have I said a prayer? Or was I baptized? See, those things are outward responses of an inward faith. It's a response of what's going on inside. So we cannot build our faith on outward responses. That is not the foundation of your faith. You're not saved because you were baptized. You're saved because of Jesus Christ alone. And the response of that, the outward response of that is baptism. Your foundation must be built on Christ and Christ alone. And if this is the foundation of your faith, that in Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the foundation of your faith, where the good news is that Jesus, the Son of God, I mean, every time I say this, it just blows my mind. The Son of God came down and became human, truly human, yet still truly God. That in itself is an amazing miracle, a huge act of humility, the fact that He came down. But on top of that, He lived the type of life we would have lived. Like he had all the limitations that we had, yet he did everything right. He lived in a way that all of us were supposed to live. He lived a perfect and right life. Yet He was punished on a cross as if He did everything wrong. He was punished as if He lived the way we lived. Yet God saw this act of sacrifice and rose Him from the dead, conquering sin and death. And that gives every single person the opportunity to see this, and for people to look at this and go, if I turn away from my sin and turn towards Jesus in faith, I can attain eternal life in Christ. That my sins can be paid for on the cross and His right life can be attributed to me. And that is what our foundation is built on. That is the foundation of our faith. The good news is that He came to heal the broken. He came to forgive what we had broke. And He came to restore and reconcile our relationship with God. And if that is your foundation, and if that is my foundation, then it should affect how we do ministry. It should affect how we do evangelism. It should affect how we see our world, how we see our church, and it should give us confidence that we can trust in His power alone. Which leads us to our second point as we wrap up this message, that the confidence of our salvation is in the power of the cross. Let's read the last three verses together. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the power and of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I love how Paul describes himself. He came in weakness and fear and much trembling. In the second century writings of Acts of Paul and Thecla, Paul is said to be, quote, a man small in stature, with a bald head and crooked legs, in a good state of body, with eyebrows meeting, and a nose somewhat hooked. In other words, Paul was a short, bow-legged, bald man with a unibrow and a pronounced nose. And then on top of that, he was not exactly what we call a gifted speaker. So maybe he's not the best to look at, but on top of that, he says he's weak and in fear and in trembling. He's not a gifted speaker. He's not dynamic in personality that would draw a crowd. And he's probably not somebody you would want going to plant a church. He might not even be able to get past the first round of interviews when some churches are trying to find a new pastor. Can you imagine this man that comes up and he's quiet and timid, not dynamic. Nobody wants to listen to him. Little bit on the boring side. You can tell when a church not so into a pastor or someone who comes and guest speaks. Just ask anybody. If somebody comes and guest speaks and people are not too excited about him, you might just ask him, hey, so how was so-and-so this past week? Well, he's nice, right? And so Paul says he comes with fear, weakness and fear and trembling. He didn't win them over with funny stories or great illustrations. He said that this was a demonstration of the Spirit and of power because he didn't find confidence in his own skill. He didn't find confidence of what he could do. He found confidence in the gospel. He found confidence in that message. So he didn't speak of his own power, but he spoke on the Spirit's power. And the faith that was built up on God and in the faith was built up on God in the power of God. And if you look at me in verse 5, he says that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This word rest, which I found incredibly fascinating, is that in the Greek, it's not actually the word rest. It's a verb. The verb is to be. It's your very like standard verb. That's like the first verb everybody learns in Greek class. You parse the to be verb. And that's exactly what it was. It goes, you have not come to faith because of your wisdom. Your faith actually existed. It exists in the power of God. And that's what it was. It essentially is like, why is your faith here? It exists because of the power of God. So you can rest in that power. And you can rest in the gospel to know that the cross of Jesus Christ, that's a gospel strong enough to save without any other bells or whistles. I felt like people recently, probably in the last year or so, have been coming up to me and really encouraging me. Or let me put it this way. People have been coming up to me with great intentions of encouraging me. I've been at this church for over 7 years. I'm coming up on 8 years in February. So I've been here for a while. My first time in full-time ministry was right here at this church. And without fail, I feel like the last, year or so, people have been coming up to me and telling me just how much I have improved in my preaching. And they are so descriptive. And I stand there. I always thought, like, I'm not that bad, right? And I'm like, no. I couldn't understand where you were going. It was just so hard. I would look on the calendar and see you're preaching. The bar wasn't low. The bar was just on the floor. And then we just picked it up for you a little bit. Oh, we're just so glad. Bless your heart. I come from the South, so you know when they say that, it's not a compliment. I had this sweet, sweet person, and I know this person loves me, cares for me. No mean bone in this person's body. Told me one time, it was just so hard hearing you. At one time, I knew you were coming to preach, and I just prayed to the Lord. Please, Lord, let me get me something out of this. Because when I was done, the Lord answered my prayers. I was like, oh man, it's so bad. I have to have like a prayer room. People are like, just don't let him screw up, Lord. Just don't let him screw up. And it's like, it was a miracle. And it's like really emphasized like the miraculous thing that happened. That finally I got something out of your message. You're like, no, you don't understand. It was a miracle from the Lord. Nothing to do with you. Miracle from the Lord. And I'm just like, I get it. I'm like, I get it every single time. Like, I die a little inside, right? It just, God knows how to really humble a man. And he uses, and see, it would have been easier if it's just like people that just want to be mean, right? Like, if people want to be mean, you're just like, whatever. They're just like mean-hearted people. You can dismiss that. I got thick skin. What's really hard is when people are just trying to be nice. And they don't know. They're just like, Right? And so that's what's going on. It's like, man, they're like being like incredibly honest. I know they're for me, and I know they're telling me, they're encouraging me, but man, it's hard. It's hard to hear. It wounds my pride. But my soul rejoices because my goal isn't for you to win you over to me. Right? My goal isn't to win you over to how exciting I am or whatever I can bring to the table. My goal is to win you to Christ. To see, this is the gospel, and this is the gospel displayed. So it's not praises for Dennis. It's for you to see and experience the power of the cross and the joy of the gospel. And if that's accomplished, and by God's grace and by God's mercy and by God's blessing that it can be used through me, then praise God, right? Praise God that I don't have to live up to this standard of being good enough, because my job is to go, this is how amazing the gospel is. I don't have to put confidence in myself. I put confidence in the message that we bring. And so whether I stumble through words or maybe I don't have the tightest of messages, the goal is for us to all see and just value and love and go, this is the gospel, and this is the gospel that is our foundation. This is the gospel we have our confidence in. This is the gospel that has saved me and that can save others. And this is where we plant our flag in. And that is good enough. That is more than good enough. So let me ask you a question. Is your confidence in the power of the cross? And if it is, how does that change the way we do ministry? How does it change our focus? How does it change our goals here? You see, the goal isn't to try to dress up the gospel, to make it look pretty, to make it look better, as if this gospel message is deficient, so we need to help it out a little bit. Our goal isn't to take this gospel and sprinkle it on the things we do as an add-on, as, well, we had this and then we said the gospel really quick and we're good to go, right? Everyone can go back to doing what they want to do. It's not to sprinkle on something we're trying to do. What our confidence in the cross, the gospel has to be front and center in all that we do. It is the star of the show. It is the center of what our church does. And so our ministry here is not to dress up the gospel, not to sprinkle the gospel. Our ministry is to make the gospel front and center. And our gospel and our ministry is for us to tear down walls so for people to get to the gospel. And that should be the heartbeat of everything that we do here. That the gospel is the center, and we tear down whatever walls that are erect that can get people to the gospel. Here's the thing. I'm not saying that we shouldn't try to attract people or be what we call an attractional church. Jesus did that. There's nothing more attractional than getting healed and free lunch. He did that. But he was doing that to tear down walls in the hearts of people so they can get to the heart of the issue, which is their faith in Jesus. I'm not saying that we shouldn't contextualize the gospel or bring the gospel to contextualize or understand the culture of the people around us and the context of this location. We here at the Crossing made the strategic move to have services in English. That in itself is a contextualization. Because if we're in any other country, we'd have languages that people could understand. So I'm not saying we don't contextualize, but we do that because it tears down walls so people can get to the gospel. We are not building a sanctuary in the parking lot because we believe if we build a sanctuary, people will come to our church and grow. Our confidence is not in a building. We build a sanctuary because we want to build an environment that will tear down any walls and hindrances to the gospel. So I'm not saying that we don't do these things. My question is, where is our confidence in? Is your confidence in the gospel that we share and experience? Or is your confidence in the newest strategy? Or a book? Or buildings? Or fellowships? Let's get even more personal. If your confidence is in the power of the cross, and your faith rests in the power of God, and if it literally exists because it's in God and not in anything else, how is that displayed in your workplace, your home, your school? Right? If your confidence is in the power of the cross, how is that displayed? Are you actively and intentionally sharing your faith to the communities that God has placed you in for that very reason? Do you know that the job you're at, or the school you're at, or the home you're in is because God has placed you there for a very specific reason? And are you actively, intentionally sharing this gospel message with confidence that this message is good enough? You know that you're there because God has placed you there for the Great Commission, and it is good enough. I think a lot of times we don't have confidence in this message. We don't have confidence in the gospel. And I say that in the way that we live it out, right? We're afraid to live it out fully because we're like, well, what if I mess it up? Or what if I'm not good enough? I don't know how I can stand on this. We get afraid. We get timid. We're weak when it comes to not, I'm not talking about inviting people to church. I'm talking about telling people this good news. But here we see that Paul says that in weakness, in fear, in much trembling, he had confidence in the gospel, in the power of the cross. That's where he rests his confidence on. So he's like, I might not have done it well or the best. I might not have been the most dynamic speaker, but I know that this message stands on itself. It stands on its own. And this is a powerful message, a message of hope, a message of redemption, a message of reconciliation, a message of second and third and fourth chances, a message of going from dark to light, to becoming a child of God. And you know what? I might not be able to deliver that well, but I can deliver it because I have confidence in the message. Maybe not in myself, but in this message. Do you have confidence in this message today? Do you have confidence that Christ has already done it on your behalf? The foundation of our faith must not be in anything other than Christ and Christ crucified. And our confidence must be found in the power of God and God alone. That's what actually moves and shakes the world. So let our church's foundation and our church's confidence be in Jesus Christ and His power alone. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you hold all the power and might, that you're strong enough and mighty to save, and that it's in you that we can find hope and joy, peace and confidence, that you renew a spirit within us to love on the people around us, to deliver this message of hope to our neighbors and to the nations. And may you, through your Son, give us the confidence when we feel weak and when we feel insecure or inadequate. Because our foundation is in you, not in what we have done. And our confidence is in you and not in our own skills and what we bring to the table. And so through the power of our resurrected King, We have our confidence that you have already accomplished saving us, saving people to yourself, and you accomplished so much more. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.